We had on the opening day two liner shipping CEOs on display, Ocean Network Express's Jeremy Nixon and Rolf Habben Jansen, CEO of Hapag-Lloyd. Any big reveals from them two guys?
Yeah, I certainly Jeremy was on an earlier panel session and he actually used the opportunity to be, well, very bullish for Jeremy, actually. He went in there and said, right, one, we're going to be doing new services even this year, independent of the alliance. So this was one thing. And basically, he really built up what they were going to do. But I mean, the in particular was that he gave a really strong hint of some news coming up.
Yeah, that's right. So he said directly, I can't actually confirm this publicly now, but we are in a number of discussions and early next month, we will have an update on all of that. So I think we can reasonably expect to see the alliance's new look in early March.
And just to explain to anyone who might have just missed some of those alliance changes. So this is what's happening essentially next January. We've got the 2M alliance of Maersk and MSC. That's the end of that alliance. Maersk then joins with Hapag-Lloyd in the Gemini cooperation in February next year. That leaves the alliance, which Hapag was formerly part of. It leaves a rump of Yang Ming, HMM and the Ocean Network Express. And everyone's wondering what they'll do. Now, one thing that people have been saying they might do is maybe do a deal with MSC. Is that maybe the big announcement that Jeremy was threatening?
I don't think so at all. I mean, and MSC, they'll do their own thing effectively. The only possibility with MSC is some form of slot cooperation, and that doesn't solve the problem for the alliance. More likely, and still leading the charge, and the favorite is Wanhai, which already has, they already have a cooperation with Wanhai, or one does anyway, on the Trans-Pacific. And Wanhai have some ships coming on as well. So they could be bolted on to boost that alliance because they'll be quite weak after Hapag-Lloyd leaves. So yeah, favorite Wanhai in my view.
But I mean, Mr. Nixon also made the point that actually it depends on the specific trade, doesn't it? Because on the Trans-Pacific, for example, Hapag was actually one of the junior partners in the alliance. So there are certain trades that Hapag was more important to the overall the alliance network than other trades.
So it's going to vary by trade. Okay, guys, one of the things that's really struck me, and I don't wonder if this came up, is that Gemini cooperation, so Maersk and Hapag, they're saying they're going to promise customers 90% schedule reliability. They've got this hub and spoke system they're going to put in place that they say is going to deliver this. Now, just to give that a bit of context, in January, average global schedule reliability was down to 51.6%. December and January, global schedule reliability, according to Sea Intelligence, dropped 5% both months. And in January, out of the top 13 carriers, Maersk was only 10th and Hapag was one place lower. So given Maersk and Hapag haven't been performing that well individually, how are they going to get to 90%? Was there any sort of view on that?
Okay, you mentioned before that this has been received with a lot of skepticism. So Rolf Habben Jansen did a sort of Q&A session with Peter Tershaw, the head of JOC S&P. He said, look, this is again, direct quote. He said, look, I know there's skepticism. We were skeptical about it. Maersk was skeptical about it. But as we have these discussions around it, you know, we believed we could make it work. And the proof will be in the pudding, right? The theory of how this works is that you have fewer mainline port calls. And so any problems you might have at the transshipment thing, because you have fewer port calls on the main lines, it's much easier to maintain their schedule reliability. Now, once you do that and you get the boxes into the hub ports within a given amount of time, you're then able to meet the end port destination through the shuttle services. That's the theory. We don't know whether it will work yet or not.
Mike, you've covered this all ends up. You've been a liner executive and now you're a journalist. How skeptical are you?
Right. I think Jan Tiedemann, Alpha Liner, was spot on, right on the money there with it looks good on paper. And it does look good on paper. But as Rolf said, even later on, we've got to make sure it works. We've got to prove it. You know, so that's their target for 90%. And of course, their problem is convincing shippers that it will work because most shippers would quite rightly prefer a direct call. In the past, when people have looked at and done the various sort of hub and spoke type things, the issues become not necessarily what's going on the hub port, but what's going on the spoke port. So if the feeder or relay ship or whatever it is gets delayed at the spoke port, then it's going to miss the mother vessel. And likewise, containers can come off the mother vessel. The feeder hasn't arrived, so it can be sitting on a quay, say in Rotterdam, for instance, for 2 to 3 days. Whereas if that were a direct call, that cargo would already, say, for instance, be in Felixstowe. So they're the issues, and that's what they have to work very hard in convincing. Their USP, they say, is that they're controlling a lot of these hub ports, but they don't control the spoke ports, of course. And they're using some big ships to the hardly feeder ships. You know, they're talking about 5,000, 6,000 TEU ships that they use. So the ships that used to go across the Atlantic. So it's how it works and what sort of agreement they can get at those spoke ports to make sure they get those relay ships worked on arrival. Otherwise, the whole thing falls down.
They probably have to own as many of them as possible, won't they? I've just got another question there, Mike, on that same point. Will even this threat that they're going to go for 90%, does that put pressure on the other carriers? Because obviously every customer I've spoken to would love this to happen. So if there's even a threat of it working, doesn't that put a lot of pressure on the other carriers to try and match them?
Yeah, it does. I mean, obviously the other carriers will be bigging up the skepticism of how this will work. So yes, but at the same time, they'll be worried that it might work. So all bets are off, really, and the jury is out until it starts going. And that's really, if it works, then yes, it will put a lot of pressure on the other guys. But until it works, who knows?
And possibly introduce a new phase of container shipping. Yeah. I mean, this could be a model that actually, this is how you overcome the various congestion supply chain bottlenecks. You introduce some kind of modeling based on a hub and spoke thing and reducing extended direct call strings.
A new hub and spoke era. Excellent. Hello, I'm Mike King, and you've been listening to a clip from the latest episode of the Loadstar podcast. You can listen and subscribe to the full version on all major podcast platforms. You can also find us and a whole lot more news on theloadstar.com. Thanks for listening.